Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. In this episode, Chris Lillehei gives some food for thought about what being fabric means, especially in light of the word local. He spoke at our local outdoor gathering in Minneapolis. Enjoy.
Welcome, everyone. It is so cool to be back up and talking in front of people again. I think it's been a while. I took the hiatus of COVID off from talking in front of people. But my name is Chris. I'm a part of Fabric, and we've been in the midst of a conversation series talking about what we are as a community. And we've been actually using kind of the tagline from farmers markets. So fresh, organic, and local. And just kind of embracing that as a way to talk about who we are and how we interact with the world around us. We really embrace this analogy, actually. We were talking about it this week as kind of a staff of what does it mean to be fabric. And I loved that it was so much about the messiness about being a community together. And similar to kind of going to a farmer's market, right? It's more expensive, it's messier, it's less efficient than going to the grocery store. But I think we can all agree there's something about going to a farmer's market that just feels better about who we are. And I would argue that's kind of how we are as a community. We're probably a little less efficient than some other communities. We're a little messier than most other communities. And yet there's something that just feels right about being here together. Today we're focusing particularly on the last of these statements. So the first week, Melissa did a great job talking about fresh, and then Brother Tim did organic last week, and now we're talking about local. So I want to start off by framing a little bit about what the conversation of local actually kind of refers to. So what we're not talking about is that it's that you have to live in South Minneapolis to be a part of our community. We're not talking about that it has to be in proximity to one another physically. And I think the pandemic, along with other things, have taught us that sometimes it feels like being on a Zoom call with people, they're right with us and next door to us. And other times it feels like we're sitting next to somebody and they're staring at their phone the whole time and they feel like a universe away. So local can mean all sorts of different things in our lives. What we try to do as a community is talk about universal subjects in a local setting. So talk about the truths that are universal within this world, within our community, within our lives, and we focus and refine that on the setting of being local with one another. The example that comes to mind for me, and one of the most important ones as someone who does live in South Minneapolis, is the murder of George Floyd. I remember that night sitting in our house, and Jenny and I, my wife and I, were just staring at each other trying to figure out, what do we do and how do we see ourselves in this? Knowing that this is going to spark a lot of energy in our community and in the universe at large. And how do we fit in that? And I remember yearning for a time for us to be fabric together. It was in the middle of a pandemic. We weren't necessarily meeting in person, but we had a Zoom call. I think it was middle of that week at some point. I still remember every time I see Chris Tripolino on a Zoom call, it brings me back to that night. And it grounded me in this universal kind of change agent of a tragic situation, but also really local of, is something going to happen to my house, to my community, to my friends? And I just thought it was one of the greatest examples of what it meant to be fabric together, at least for me. Now, fabric as a community is about being local, but I think equal to or almost more important to is it's about being known. It's about that we as a person are seen and known, we're cared about, we're loved on, we're walking with each other through the ups and the downs of life, the celebrations of a new birth, the tragedy of a death, the hardships of a divorce, of losing a job, the excitement of a new start in life. All of that is what we do as a community. And as a community, we really try to reject that that lie that we have to be self-sufficient, that this is about trying to just do it all, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and no matter what, it's all about you and your own ability to get through it. Instead, we say it's not true. What it is about being authentically community in a local setting with one another. So I want to take a moment, if you just kind of relax yourself, put both feet on the ground if you can. We do this a lot here at Fabric, but just a little bit of a centering space. You can close your eyes if you want to, or leave them open if it feels more comfortable. But just take a breath with me. Take a moment to recognize all that is local around you. The smells that you're taking in, the noises around us, the feeling of the bench against you, the soil pushing back as your feet rest against it, the taste of that coffee or water. The buzzing of the cicadas. The knowing that you are here. That you are enough. There's no place you need to be right now. There's nothing you need to do to prove yourself to yourself or anybody else. You get the gift of this moment. You can open your eyes. Just notice something about yourself, about who you are in this moment. Now, I want to transition a little bit to talking about what is this community centered upon. What matters to us as a community? And it's not just a community that gets together, or even really a community that cares for one another. Instead, I would argue that this is a community centered around a promise. This is a community in which there is a promise that we all lean into. And this promise is that you are loved, you are lovable, and you are loving. You, as an individual sitting here, are loved, you're lovable, and you are loving. If nothing else from this community, I want you to take that with you. And this is a universal truth. We as a community don't believe that you have to believe in a certain thing or be sprayed with water or have a certain thought process or don't have certain doubts. We believe that this is a universal truth of every human being on this earth. And that promise is made to each and every one of you. I don't know about you, but so much of what I need in life is to remember that promise. So much of the times in which I feel like I'm fighting against everybody and everyone is because I don't remember that I'm loved, that I'm lovable, and I'm loving. Instead, I function out of fear, out of anger, out of trying to earn that, trying to accomplish something and be defined by those accomplishments. And I need a community around me that is going to remind me on a day in and day out basis that I too am loved, that I'm lovable, and that I'm loving. And I think one of the most important parts of this is that we're recognized as that, warts and all. That the more I let people see the true Chris Lillehei as I stand in front of you today, the more when I get that promise, it means something. You know, some of you know me really well, some of you barely know me at all. So I imagine that me telling you this up here in front of everybody with a microphone, yeah, it means something. It's helpful. It's a nice reminder. And yet, the more you are known and you get that promise still, that I see the ways that you've screwed up, your addictions, your hurts, your hardships, the ways in which those things that just center around the shame in your life, the things you shouldn't be, when I still see that and I say, and yet, because of that, you are loved, you're lovable, and you are loving, that's when that promise changes who we are. That changes how we interact with the world. That changes everything about us. I won't go into much detail, but there's this vignette that Jesus has in which he meets a woman at a well. Jacob's Well used to be the name of our community, actually. And during this interaction, Jesus is, I think, talking about this promise to this woman, that she is loved, lovable, and loving. And in the midst of that conversation, Jesus brings up the fact, the stuff that's causing her shame in life. That she's been married 5 times, that she's living with someone who's not maybe the best fit for her. And yet he's looking into that and making that promise to her, that you are loved, you are lovable, and you are loving. Now, he could have said all of that without recognizing the shame in her life. And yet I think there's something missing when you do that, right? Then you're loving the mask that I have created for you. Then you're looking at the person that I want you to see and telling me that promise. But when I feel safe enough to take that mask off and I still get that, that's when it changes who I am. And this promise not only is done verbally, but in so many ways it's done through living as a community together. Now, I recognize some of you are new or newer to the Fabric community, so this might not be true to you, but I just want you to take a second and look around as I ask this question. How many of you have received a show of hands, a dinner from somebody in this community, a text message, a phone call at the right moment? Go ahead, raise your hands. How many of you have felt loved and lovable because of this community? Just look around just for a second. It's pretty unbelievable. So if we are truly loved and lovable, when we're able to function out of that sense of being loved and lovable, what do we do with that? What do we do when that pitcher starts to overflow? We're not just objects in which to be loved on and be lovable. We get to be participants in this journey. We get to be loving. We get to care for those around us. We get to be a community in which we get to walk with and around other people with this same type of mission. And I'm struck by the contagious nature of this loved, lovable, and loving. When I'm able to walk into a situation and I get those glimpses in life in which my pitcher is overflowing and I get to walk along another person in their journey and remind them of that same promise, there's literally nothing else I want to do with my life. For those that know or don't know, I'm a chaplain at Children's Hospital. I work in the PICU and the cardiovascular ICU. And I'm convinced, in fact, I bet my career on it, that this is what people need to hear. That oftentimes I am just a presence alongside others as they go through the worst situation that anyone could imagine. And I'll give you a secret. One of the only things I remind people of is that in the midst of this horrible tragedy, that I see them, that they are loved, that they are lovable, and they are loving. In the midst of the tragedy of having a child on the doorstep of death and sometimes dying, these parents are looking to me for something, and I don't have much. Or we have it all. That we get to be enough as we sit in situations. That we get to confirm that promise with and for other people. And you don't have to do it alone. You get to recruit those that are sitting around us today, those that have made an imprint on our community throughout the years that we've been together, those that are peripherally involved, those are involved by kind of just their mission in life, that our fabric. That's the coolest part about this community, right? We don't have a gatekeeper. We don't have a membership. We don't have an ideological framework you have to believe in. Except for this promise. It seems pretty cool. I grew up in kind of the evangelical church setting. Some might call me an ex-evangelical. And yet, I think I carry with me something that's really important from that time in that community. And that's this idea of evangelizing. If we go down to the root of what that word means, right, we throw out the baggage of conversion, of making you think like I think or believe what I believe. What it is sharing good news. And man, what better news than to remind people through word, through deed, through walking alongside them in presence, that they are loved, lovable, and loving. And so I want you to walk away from this with the encouragement that you get to be a part of this. What I don't want you to do is go way outside of who you are as a person. What I do want you to do is to embrace the gifts that you have been given. So for some of us, it's baking a pie for someone going through a hard time. I promise you, if I tried to bake a pie, you would think I was trying to kill you. So that is not mine. For some of us, like me, it's a verbal thing. Actually saying those words to people. For others, it's just a presence alongside. You keep your mouth shut. I could learn a lot from you all, so could you teach me something? But what I want you to do is to move, we talk about it as a community, into that growth zone. That zone that feels like you're pushing yourself just a little bit. Should I call that person? Should I go visit them in the hospital? My answer is, why not? Why not just push yourself just a little bit more? Maybe invite somebody here on a Sunday morning that you know needs that promise, that reminder that they are loved, lovable, and loving. And when we do that out of an overflowing of that pitcher, it becomes contagious. It's not coercive. It's not trying to change people. It's not trying to convince them to believe in something. It's about sharing a promise. If they don't want it, they don't have to take it. But because I'm going to it from a place in which I am loved and lovable and loving, it doesn't matter to me. I'm not trying to seek anything from them. I'm just convinced that this is a pretty cool way to live life. We talk a lot about our community, that we're here for the people that haven't found us yet. And I love that. That is so cool to me. That who knows a year from now who's going to be sitting in these benches. That's what faith is, right? That it's not about converting somebody or making sure they're here every Sunday or making them feel guilty when they can't be. It's about embracing them, loving on them. So it's a community that gets to live in a non-manufactured, a farmer's market kind of inefficiency. May not be perfect, it may not be flawless, but it is fresh, organic, and it is local.
Thanks for listening. We hope this podcast sparks conversation in other parts of your life. If you're looking for meaningful connections, there's a Fabric group for you to try, whether you're in the Twin Cities or not. Tag @FabricMPLS with your wonderings on social media and find resources on our website, fabricmpls.com.